Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor. It's my pleasure to welcome you all into our church family, into our community of faith today. We're glad that y'all are here with us in worship in the sanctuary. We welcome our friends who are joining us on Facebook Live, who are saying hello to each other, and also our friends who are joining us through our church website. Wherever we find ourselves here today, in person or virtually, it is a great day to be together as a church family as we worship our risen Savior here on this cold November day. As we gather for worship, we ask that you'll take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. So we ask you to tear it off now and connect with us by filling it out, letting us know that you were here with us in worship today. On the back side, you can check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about things happening in the life of our church. You can also write down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. And after you fill it out, you can take it with you as you leave the sanctuary and drop it in the offering plates that are located on both the left and right-hand sides outside the sanctuary doors following our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org, and there you can download a copy of today's worship bulletin. You can follow along, and you can know the songs that our band is singing here today. We also invite you to have ready there with you elements of communion as we'll gather around our Lord's table later on in our worship service. Lots of things going on in the life of our church. So on the very back of your bulletin, you see some of them happening here and now. We are looking forward to this new season of Advent beginning next Sunday, which are those 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And so we're going to have a new Advent Sunday school class starting, focused around the book called The Angels of Christmas. Tom Manning is going to be leading it for us. And actually, this book, Angels of Christmas, will be the sermon series that I'm going to be preaching from throughout Advent. And so if you want a little kind of supplementary study to go along with the sermon series, you can join the new class starting next week at 9:15 in the morning. We hope that you will pick up one of our feasibility studies if you have not done so already. We're taking this big, long survey as we pray about renovations that we're going to be doing to our church building. And so lots of folks have been filling it out online, and some folks have been received it last week and have brought it back. And so for them all, we're so very thankful for that. The survey is going to be open till this Friday, and so you have a few more days to fill it out. Our very last church board meeting for the year is tomorrow night in room 7 at 6:30. It's going to be a fantastic, very exciting board meeting. We're going to be hearing a report from our youth and children's pastor search committee. We have a candidate that they're going to be bringing forward for us. So we're very excited about this new youth and children's pastor that we're going to be hearing about and voting on. And so everybody's welcome to join us on tomorrow night at 6:30 in room 7. Lastly, you see in your bulletin that we're collecting our special Thanksgiving offering. This is one of our denomination's special over and above special offerings. This Thanksgiving offering goes to support Disciples of Christ colleges and universities and seminaries. It helps to help the people who are going to be the next generation of church leaders. You may know that TCU, Texas Christian University, is one of our Disciples of Christ colleges and universities. They're currently number 4 in the nation of college football. They're currently undefeated. And so I'm not going to tell you that your offering goes to help get running backs, but, you know, actually, I'm just kidding. It doesn't go to help running backs, but it goes to support leaders for the next generation. And so we're so thankful for all of our colleges and universities that help bring new leaders to us in the life of the church.
For some of you, this might be a good thing. This will be the last time we get to sing this song together this year.
Nothing that can separate me from His love.
from his love. Clouds are weeping stars, Jesus is the cure for each and every sin sick soul. Well, can we trust the one who gave his only son? Can any broken heart be made whole? Look no further than the day he died. Who forgave the crowd who had him crucified? Under this mysterious statue, nothing that can separate me from his love.
Let's go. Let us pray. We come, O loving God, as thankful people into your presence. In this season of thanksgiving and praise, we come to be filled with your presence and to know of your love for us. We enter this house of worship knowing that you made us, and we are remembered in your love. So here in this hour and in this time, let us know of your grace and peace with us. As sheep with their shepherd, we seek to honor you for all that we are and all that we have. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. You're invited to be seated. As you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come down forward and meet Annika McVeigh for today's Children's Moment.
Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, hurrah, hurrah. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, hurrah, hurrah. Oh, little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, this I know, hurrah.
Good morning. How are we doing? That is great. Okay, we're going to go back to English class for just a couple minutes. I need your help this morning. So, can someone give me an adjective? And remember, an adjective is a describing word. Big, okay? And then I need two famous people. Elon Musk. And Hunter, who's your famous person? Okay. And I need two kinds of food. Cheez-Its and pizza. Okay, another adjective. So another describing word. Small. Okay, another adjective. Medium. I think we've covered all of our sizes now. And another adjective. Or a verb, sorry, a verb. And remember, a verb is an action word. Skip. Okay, and the last thing I need is a thing, an item. A chair. Okay, let's see how this plays out. I'm so big for today. We're having Elon Musk over for Thanksgiving dinner. Speakable made Cheez-Its. And pizza. It's going to be so small. I can't wait to skip my face with all this medium food. There is so much to celebrate and be thankful for. I am thankful I still have my chair. I am thankful for my family, but most importantly, God. Without them, life would not be complete. With this little silly saying, we learn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, to always rejoice, never stop praying, and be thankful for everything God gave us. Let this silly little saying be a reminder that we should never worry about what we don't have, but be thankful for everything we do have. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to understand we need to be thankful for all the times, even in sad times. We are usually grateful in good times, but forget the bad times we need to be thankful for too. This is how we grow stronger in faith. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for being there all the time for us. And most of all, thank you for our lives. We are truly blessed. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we enter into a time of prayer together today, we are aware that as winter comes, so do sicknesses. And so lots in our church family are dealing with flus and colds and all the yucky stuff. And so we keep our whole community in our prayers as this winter season is upon us. Let us go to God in prayer. Eternal God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, we pause on this last Sunday of the church year. So much has happened throughout this year. Many things we remember fondly and other memories that bring heartache. As in every year, we have an abundance of blessings from this year, and yet we also are sometimes weighed down by the challenges or hardships present. All can be used for good through you, and we pray for your guidance in considering this. Lead us, O God, in the coming church year. Deepen our love and commitment to you and the cause of serving humankind. Deepen our ability to trust and to believe in the fundamental goodness of life. Deepen our ability to greet each new day and see it as a gift from you and an opportunity for triumph. Deepen our ability to affirm our sisters and brothers in the faith and to help them to believe in themselves. Deepen our ability to discover and to serve the Christ in our neighbor. Let the reign of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son and our Savior, be evident in all that we say, think, and do. Give us the confidence and courage to truly be your witnesses all the rest of our days. Lead us and be our guide this new year and every day in it. We bring before you our church prayer list and the many names it shares. Be near to those who need you so that your presence will ease the pain that they may feel. We pray that your presence would bring comfort to those who are struggling with health or life concerns. We pray for your healing touch to be upon those who are ill or hurting. We also pray for friends, family, or other needs that are on our minds and hearts this morning. You know the needs of your people, and so we pray that your love would be present for all. We pray for those who may be alone this holiday week. We pray for comfort and contentment for any who are separated from family. Oh God, even as we give thanks during this Thanksgiving week, we are mindful that so many are struggling. We pray for those who don't have stable employment or housing, and for those who are hungry. Bless those who go without. We pray that solutions and resources could be found for all in need. Oh God, we see within our lives gifts and blessings uncountable, and we recognize that these come from you. We give thanks for your provisions in our lives. Help us to recognize the ways that you are ever at work in us. We pray that we would honor the gift of Jesus in all that we do. We thank you for the gift of his life and his saving death and resurrection. In his name, we pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God and Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
I know that Thanksgiving is the coming holiday this week. I know we had our harvest dinner, which is our big kind of all-church Thanksgiving meal we had this past Thursday. It was great, and the food was amazing, and the fellowship hall was jam-packed full of people, and it was so much fun. It was a great and good kind of preamble, kind of early preparation for our family meals to come this Thursday. You may have already started dreaming about turkey and mashed potatoes and dressing and kind of feeling doped up on tryptophan and watching football in some kind of stupor coma there on the couch. You may have already prepared yourself to see your family that maybe because of the pandemic or travel or life, maybe you haven't seen them in years, and so this year you cannot wait. You may be getting yourself all psyched up and ready, and you've made your list and you're checking it twice for Black Friday shopping to come later this week. You are set and ready to go for all that this week is going to bring. I know that all these things are before us this week, but I have to tell you, in my mind, all week long, I've been thinking about New Year's Eve. like Times Square and like the ball dropping and noisemakers and streamers and like Liz and I trying to wake up in time after we've already fallen asleep on the couch and in my chair to watch the ball drop in New York City at 11 p.m. Central, because there's no way we can stay up and stay awake until 12 p.m. Central. Not that I want this year and this season to go by any faster than it already is, but in this season of giving thanks and gratitude and understanding that all we have and all that we are comes as a gift from God, in this season in the church, today is like New Year's Eve. Next Sunday, when you come back to church, or next Sunday when you watch online, it'll be the first Sunday in the church season called Advent. This means there'll be Christmas trees up here in the front. There'll be wreaths and lights kind of all over the place. Even like the claws here, like on the lectern and the one on the pulpit and the banners, like these claws were like the fancy theological term is called the paraments. These paraments will be changed from green to purple. There'll be signs of Advent and Christmas all around us. And so because of that, in the church calendar, next Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, is the first Sunday in the church year. Advent, of course, teaches us about preparing the way for Christ to come and be born again in our life. We'll hear the message from John the Baptist and all the prophets about Jesus Christ in our life. And so because next week is like the first Sunday in the church year, it's almost like today for us is New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's, everybody. We're so glad you're here. Aren't you glad you came on New Year's Eve today? I mean, it's a great day to be in church. It is like this transition Sunday, wrapping up one church year, just about to start another one next year. And so at this end of the church year, like this New Year's Eve kind of Sunday, we have this Thanksgiving message. And in this, we hear this message from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and in this, the Apostle Paul is giving us the word today. And his lesson for us is almost like this, oh, by the way, kind of message. Almost like, oh, I can't forget to tell you this and write this down kind of word. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I don't know if you saw like the news this past week that in Buffalo, New York, they literally had 77 inches of snow this past week. Last Sunday, whenever I was talking about how I was so pumped about snow to come on Tuesday here, I wasn't talking about 77 inches of snow to come in our world here. But so because of this, maybe you heard the news that the Buffalo Bills football team had their game moved today to Detroit because there's so much snow in western New York, no one can go anywhere. Literally, it is illegal to drive in Buffalo, New York today. And so when the Bills announced on social media that they were moving the game, the Detroit Lions wrote back saying this little message, our emergency numbers are there on the cabinets. There's juice in the fridge kind of thing. Don't forget to lock the door when you leave. Like, oh, by the way, don't forget these things. That's what it's like for Paul today. These, oh, by the way, kind of lessons that he wants to give us before the season ends and the new one begins. And so he has three lessons for us. I'm going to go through them one by one. You may want to write them down if you need to get yourself psyched up before you see your family later on this week. The first thing Paul says is this. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Now, I love this call and I love this challenge to rejoice at all times and in every single circumstance. I love it and I feel what Paul is saying, but I know what you are already thinking because it is written on your face here and now. It is hard to do this. It's one thing to see it and believe it. It's hard to put into practice. I mean, we could think about, just about off the top of our head, 1,000 things that we do not want to rejoice always in. I mean, the pandemic or the flu or RSV, like maybe you lost your job. Maybe your family is sick. Maybe your kids are sick. Maybe you have a dead battery on like a cold winter day in your car. And that's just off the top of our head. Our list of awful things in life, of hard times, could go on and on that we have a hard time rejoicing always in. In fact, to be honest, if we had to kind of put ourselves in one of those kind of one of those boxes, we are less in the rejoice always box, and we're more in like the rejoice sometimes box. Like every once in a while, then we rejoice. But notice what Paul says. He doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He says give thanks in all circumstances. And there's a difference. We're called to give thanks and praise to God in the good times and in the bad times, to praise God for the strength that God gives us to lead us through those hard times in life, for not forsaking us or leaving us, but always blessing us with presence, because we don't always know where to turn, but God's love is there. God gives us grace and peace and strength in the deepest valleys of life. In all things, we can give thanks and praise to God. The second thing Paul says is this. Don't quench the Spirit of God moving around you. Literally, he says, do not quench the Spirit. It's like us here in worship. So we have some candles here on the table, and these are great symbols for us of the Spirit of Christ moving in our life. Like, we have electricity here in the church. Like we don't need candles to actually read. But here there are symbols for us of the Spirit of Christ moving always around us. And so whenever worship has ended, we have this, like, this big long taper at the very end has this kind of snuffer. And like, we put the candles out by putting the snuffer on top of them, by actually overcoming the flame, suppressing it, and pushing out the oxygen. How many times in our life have we pushed out the Spirit? Maybe we think about our own plans in life and we have our own wills. And once we get going, then like halfway down the road, do we then turn around and ask God to bless what we've already started in our own life? Sometimes we're even like that type A type of person that we like things in the right way and like certain form and function. And so we push the Spirit aside and we tell God we have this one on our own. But the challenge for us is to leave space for the Spirit to move. To not pray for our own will to be done, but pray for God's will to be done in our life. The Spirit of Christ fills us and blesses us and empowers us to share the gospel. And so we want to be open to it, so we can feel the Spirit leading us and creating us to be the kind of people that God needs us to be. The third thing, the last thing that Paul says, is remember the one who calls you is faithful. And he will do this. Or to put it a different way, remember that God is consistent with you. I mean, we know that if you want to be good at anything in life, then you have to be consistent with it. I mean, you can pick up a trumpet and you cannot expect to be Miles Davis or like Louis Armstrong, like after the first day, after like the first couple lessons. I mean, you know this, if you've ever been to a fifth grade band concert in your life, then you know how this is the case. And God bless those kids who are trying their very best and they're learning the music like the very best way they can. But in those fifth grade years, you can hardly make out the difference between the Star Spangled Banner and Hot Cross Buns. It all sounds the same at like the fifth grade concert. But you know that if you go to that same concert with those same kids 7 years down the road when they are just about to graduate from high school, then it sounds much better. A whole lot better, because you trust they've been practicing. I mean, it's like that in our lives of faith. If we want to be better in our faith, then we have to actually put the work in here and now. We have to be faithful and consistent. And we get better not by one thing that's amazing or flashy or like rocket science. We deepen our faith by coming to church, by praying, and reading the Bible, and doing devotions, and singing the songs, and receiving communion. We do it week after week, and month after month. And over time, we can tell that we are different in life because Christ has made a difference in our life. That's how it is for God for us. God is faithful and steady and consistent with his love. And it's our challenge to do the same. You see, in this season of counting our blessings and living lives of praise, we are called to remember God's love and presence and to remember to give thanks at all times so that we can seek God's will and find the love of Christ moving through us so that our faith can grow and be shared. Here on this New Year's Eve kind of Sunday, we have so much to give thanks to God for. Let us pray. O loving God, we give you thanks and praise for your Spirit that moves through us, for the risen Christ that blesses us as our Redeemer and Savior. We give you thanks, O God, for your Spirit moving in this place once again. And so here and now, we offer to you our whole entire selves, our schedules and our thoughts, our worries, and all the things that are weighing down upon us. We offer them to you because we know that you fill us and that you bless us and love us. We offer this to you, O God, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We know that in life, very often, Jesus was the guest. He was the guest of Zacchaeus when he invited himself over to his house for dinner that one day. He was the guest at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus whenever they set a meal there for him. He was the guest of religious leaders, of women and men, of all the people throughout his years and life of ministry. But here at this table today in the midst of worship, he is our host. He is the one who invites us to come and to know that he is here with us today. In the breaking of bread, in the blessing and pouring out of the cup, Christ himself is made real and known and alive in our life. And so because he's the one who invites us to come, we retell our story of faith. We remember that it was on that night in the upper room, the very night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he met with his friends there for the Passover meal. And while they're eating, he took a loaf of bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat of it in remembrance of me." We know that he also took the cup. When he had blessed it, he poured it out and gave it to them and said, "Take and drink. This is the cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for the remission and forgiveness of your sins. Drink of it in remembrance of me." If we know that as often as we come to this table and partake of these elements, we proclaim the Lord's life and death and resurrection until he comes again. Let us pray.
Dear God, our precious Heavenly Father, we come together this morning as a family. A family of believers. We are here to show you our love and tell you how much we need you. We know we are sinners. We know that we have weaknesses. But we also know the promise that we received from Jesus Christ in that upper room. As we sat there with the disciples and took the bread, he says, "Eat. This is my body broken for you." Likewise, he gave us a cup and said, "Drink. This is my blood that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Likewise, when he was taken and put into his tomb, it was opened and he was not there. He showed us that he has prepared a life for us after our life here on earth is gone. What a wonderful blessing. And today we celebrate because we hear, remember his words, "As often as two or more gather, we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ and the gift he gave to us." So now this morning, as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we are praising our Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he has given to us. In his precious name we pray. Amen.